last week we looked at the Israelites, Joshua and the Israelites, and that they had had a setback. That's the way to describe it. And that because they were defeated at the Ai. This week, as I said last week, in part two, I want us to look at what transpired as a result of that. As a result of the transgression, of the breaking of God's covenant. Now, Joshua and the others, as we saw last week, they didn't understand what was going on, did they? You know, we're supposed to take the promised land, so we're going to go in and do it. And they proceeded to do that, but what they neglected was to consult God about it, didn't they? Even how to do it, they didn't ask God about it. And as a result, of course, they were defeated because, as we know, as we read last week, Yahweh, the Lord God, He pointed out to them what the problem was, didn't He? I love the part where God tells Joshua, "Rise up! Get up! What are you doing down there for?" And then he repeats it in verse 13, "Rise up! You consecrate the people." You say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. God was what God, what He means by that, what He was telling them was, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about me. I want you to think about what has occurred here, what has happened. But I think by what he means by the consecrated is that you set yourselves apart. But you set yourselves apart in a way that you think spiritually. You think about me. Think about what happened. And the relationship, as far as that goes, to me, to Yahweh. And God tells him, verse 14. Of course, in verse 13, he tells him why. But in verse 14, he says, in the morning, talk to Joshua. In the morning, then, you shall come near by your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. More. The Lord's going through a roundabout way, isn't He? Then He says, and it shall be that the one who was taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire. He and all that belongs to him. Because he's talking to Joshua now, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Yahweh gives Joshua further instructions. And notice what Yahweh says, what he tells him to do, but he's telling Joshua already, the cause of this is one person. One man. Not a whole tribe. Not a lot of people. Not the whole nation. Not just a couple. Not a few. But God says, one. One man out of all you people, out of all the children of Israel, and we're talking over a million people, has done this. Notice that God, He knows who it is, doesn't He? But He doesn't tell Joshua who it is. He said, in essence, God is saying, I want you to discover who it is. That I'm not going to tell you.
Well, there's an example about how to execute justice.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe, you know, as opposed to like what happened to Ananias and Sapphira where he struck him dead.
Exactly.
Or he could have done the whole church.
But what God says,
everyone's in on their own head.
It reminds me of the old cathedral song. One of my favorite Southern Gospel group was Cathedrals. I think I've mentioned this before. But one of their songs, and I forget who wrote it, but one of their songs goes, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will take you farther than you want to pay. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. So Joshua does what Yahweh instructs him to do, verses 16 through 18. So Joshua rose early in the morning, and he brought Israel near by tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah near. And he took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites near, man by man. And Zabdi was taken. He brought his household near, man by man. And Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was taken. So the culprit is brought forward. Now God knows who it is. What's the significance of why God did it this way? What's that, Tony?
Hey, so everybody see what happens to somebody who does this.
So everybody knew.
I'm going to make an example out of him.
I mean, Yahweh could have just struck the man down just like that, couldn't he? Because he knew who it was. He knew who it was. I think possibly, too, another reason why that he did this is because he wanted them to see the significance of what it means as far as the tribes. Think of it this way. Achan of the tribe of Judah. He's an insider, isn't he? He's of the children of Israel. He comes from the tribe of Judah. He comes from a very prominent tribe. He comes from a very prominent family. He took the family of the Zerahites from the tribe of Judah. Well, who are the Zerahites? Remember we look back in our Old Testament history and that Judah had relations with his daughter-in-law and they had twins and those twins' names were Perez and Zerah. This is the Zerah. Achan comes from a very prominent family. He's an insider. The nation of Israel. Rahab, on the other hand, who marries a son of Perez, by the way, she's an outsider, isn't she? But yet she's accepted in. And becomes part of Israel, we know, because she's in the Lord's genealogy. And in fact, she becomes Ruth's mother-in-law. But she's accepted. And why? Because she came to believe in God, didn't she? She came to believe in Yahweh, and she came to follow Him. Now, Achan, he's an insider. Doesn't he have that already? He should be with God already. He's out of the tribe of Judah. So as Tony said, I believe the significance of why God did it this way is He wanted His people to see that just because you're one of mine, just because you're a children of Israel, does not mean you can do whatever you want and you got it made. And as Tony said, I think He wanted them all to know, to all to see. God could have obliterated Achan just like that. He could have taken him out. No more. But He didn't do that. But I also think that one of the reasons why He did it was to give time. Time for what? Mm-hmm. Time for repentance. Mm-hmm. Just maybe, think of it this way. God told them, I want you to single out them by tribes. So they do that. First tribe taken. Who is it, the one that chooses the tribe? Is it Joshua and the people who do that? Uh-uh. God does. Tribe of Judah is singled out. Can you imagine maybe what is going through Achan's mind? Should I repent? Should I tell him what I did? Should I just stop all this nonsense and, you know, that they're going through and just confess? I think God was giving them time. So He calls them by tribe. Then He calls them by family. Think what's going through Achan's mind. Uh-oh. Does God really know? Maybe He does. Maybe these other people could find out. Maybe I better confess. Say, but He doesn't do it, does He? His family is called. His tribe is called. Then the family of the Zerahites. And then his father's family is called. Or his grandfather's. And then his father's family is called, the son of Carmi. And then last of all, Achan was taken. It's like there are all these people around. Here comes the tribe of Judah. All the people are looking around. Okay. We know he's in the tribe of Judah. Where is he at? And then God begins to call him out. And there Achan is. And all this time, Achan hadn't come forward, had he? He was still hiding himself. But he couldn't hide from God, could he? God pointed him out. A culprit is brought forward. Now notice and look at this. Joshua. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son. And he's not using that as a term of endearment, by the way. He's using it in such a way that he is a subordinate. He is being disciplined as such. So Joshua says, my son, I implore you. give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, Yahweh. And give praise to Him. Notice what Joshua is saying. And tell me now, Joshua said two things first. He says, I implore you, you give glory to Yahweh. You give glory to the God of Israel. You praise Him. Notice what Joshua's saying. Praise Him. And he says, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. He said, give glory to God and praise Him. And tell me now what you've done. Don't hide it. It's like what Joshua was telling him. Don't think you can keep it from us. You can't keep it from God, and don't think you can keep it from us. Don't hide it from me. Tell me. So now notice how Achan answers Joshua. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly. Now in the Hebrew, the English doesn't bring it out as well. In the English it just says, truly. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. In the Hebrew, what Achan says is, it's true! It's very emphatic. He said, it is true! In other words, Achan is saying, I did it. But notice what he doesn't do. Does he give glory to God?
Not at all.
Does he give praise to Him? I don't think so. He didn't think anybody knew. However, Yahweh did. He says, so Achan answered Joshua and said, it is true! Yeah! I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. And this is what I did.
Like he's proud of it.
Well, it's like he's been found out now. So, okay, I've been, you know, it's been discovered. I've been found out. So, yes, it is true. I've sinned. And I sinned against the God of Israel. Notice that Achan is not
ignorant.
Not sorry.
Well, he doesn't say it in such a way that Yahweh, that the God of Israel is his God too.
Correct.
In the Hebrew, the way and how he says it, it's like, yeah, I've sinned against Yahweh. He's the God of Israel. You know, not thinking that I'm part of the tribe of Israel. I come from that family. I am one of those. But he doesn't think of it in that way. And so what he says then, he says, this is what I did. You want to know what I did? Okay. Here's what I did. It's like when you catch one of your kids in the cookie jars. No, it wasn't me. Okay. And then, you know, the cookie stuff is, you find on them, and okay, yeah, I did get into it, but, you know, so, okay, I'll take my punishment. That's kind of like what Achan is doing here. He's saying, yeah, it's true. I did it. And he wants to give now justification for what he did. It's like, you know, the kid in the cookie jar. The child in the cookie jar. He wants to give justification for what he did and what he says. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them, I desired them, and took them. And behold, even tell Joshua and the people where they're at. I've been found out. I said what they are. Might as well tell them where it's at. They are concealed, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. They found it. And they took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel. And they poured, now notice what it says here, they poured them out before the Lord. They poured them out before Yahweh. Nothing that we do or say, God does not know. He is omniscient. He knew, did he not? But he wanted the people to know what had happened and had what had occurred by just this one man. Achan did not give the glory to God, to Yahweh. His response in the Hebrew, here in the English says, truly, yeah. In the Hebrew, it's rather hollow. It's true, yeah. It's true. And his confession is of three parts. Notice what he said. I saw. I coveted. I desired. And I took. Doesn't that sound familiar? It should, shouldn't it? Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. The thing with Adam and Eve. Specifically with Eve. I saw. I desired. I took. That's how John describes sin in the first epistle of John. What is sin? The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. And the boastful pride of life. Sin can be put into that. That's what Achan did. He saw. That's what he says. Does he not? I saw, I desired, I took. Now, there's where they are. One of the things that this teaches us, and I've said this before, where does sin start? So many people want to think that sin and transgression against God takes place in the things that they see, or the things that they want, or what they want to do. Exactly, as Patty says, sin starts in the mind.
Make a choice.
It begins in the mind. You see it, but how are you seeing it? It begins in your mind. That's where desire is. That's what the James tells us in James chapter 1. James 1, 13 and following. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone. Many people want to say that God puts those things out there. No, he doesn't. Or he puts it in your mind. No, he doesn't. He tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, his own desire. Then when lust, that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. spiritual death. It can bring forth physical death as well, but this specifically speaking of spiritual death. Isn't that what Jesus told us too? That that's where sin starts? Read what he says in Matthew chapter 15. Those things start in the mind. That's what it was with Achan there. It began in his thinking process. I saw. I desired. I took. That hasn't changed in thousands of years, has it?
Not really.
That's all what we have going on today, too.
Not at all.
Not mine, but I want it. Yeah.
What's that, Jen?
It hasn't changed at all.
No, it hasn't. What was the problem here? Achan wanted things which were not his. Whose were they?
Well, he knew whose they were.
That's it, Jeff. Exactly.
The right thing to do and doesn't do it.
He knew whose things they were because Joshua didn't keep it secret, did he? Whenever he told them, whenever they took Jericho, everything in there belongs to God. Except for Rahab and her family. Rahab and her family can be saved. And he told them, did he not? That the precious things of silver and gold belong to the treasury of the Lord. Everything was supposed to be devoted to him. So when we see what he stole there, Achan stole the things that belonged to God, and he knew it. It was his overwhelming desire for those things that led him to disobey God. He didn't have to, did he? He said, yeah, those things are wonderful. Those things are beautiful. It'd be nice to have them, but they belong to Yahweh. They belong to him. It's instructive what Achan took there. 200 shekels of silver? That equals about 5 pounds. Not much, is it? The gold, the wedge of gold, 50 shekels. About 1.25 pounds. But now that mantle of Shinar that he saw, you can imagine what that looked like. Why did he want that? Because Babylon was known, even in those days, Babylon was known as one of the wonders of the world, you could say. And one of the places to be from. And things to get. So, Achan wanted that because... Oh, if I have that, and I can show my family, and I can show the tribe, and I show other people what I got, man, will I be in. I got it made. But you know, in him taking all those things, what he did was no accident.
He planned it, right?
He knew what he did, because what did he do with him when he took him?
Hit him.
He hid him, didn't he? He buried him. How could he enjoy what he stole?
Really, he couldn't show it to the people because he knew it was banned.
Oh, exactly.
He just wanted to know which part that he had.
It's like, I got it.
Yeah.
But I gotta keep it buried, because if I bring it out, then I'm gonna be in trouble. Well, he buried it, but he's in trouble anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What's that, Tony?
I said, it could very well be he was waiting for the next time when they would be allowed.
There you go. I didn't take it from there. I took it from here.
Right.
Exactly. And now I can bring it out. But you can't get away with that with God. So what happens? So Joshua, then Joshua and all Israel with him, took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters. He must have been a widow that doesn't say anything about his wife. His oxen, or widower rather, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to them. Took everything. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor, which means valley of trouble. Now, it wasn't called that before, by the way, but that's where they took him, to this valley, which became known as Achor. And this is why it was called that. Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them, now notice that, plural, stoned them with stone. And they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day, and the Lord returned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day, of Achor to this day, which means trouble. If those things, items were specifically laid out before Yahweh. Why? Because who did they belong to? God. Could not God have said, okay, I got them now. I'll let bygones be bygones. They're back where they belong now, so we'll just let them go. Could he have not done that? He could have, couldn't he? Why didn't he?
Was that
an example? Yes. To set an example.
Verse 12.
And because of this,
verse 12.
Exactly. They have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the haram from your midst. Notice what in verse 11 it says. Israel has sinned and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken some of the things under the haram, the ban, and have both stolen and deceived. Stolen and deceived. Who did they steal from? Who did he deceive? God. Stole from God and deceived him. And then what God says, verse 15, it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the haram, the ban, shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him. Because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. So they laid these things before God, and it's like they're saying, okay, God, here they are, they're yours. But they weren't his anymore, were they? Because they had been taken from him. And the Khan had deceived him.
Contaminated.
Exactly, Jeff. They were contaminated. That's the way God saw them. Do you see this? The way God saw Achan and all of his belongings, and including his family, he saw them now, they had been insiders. And now they're what? They're outsiders. He sees them as Canaanites. He sees them as the people they were supposed to take care of and to conquer. And now they're one of his. But why? And people want to look at this and say how vengeful and how vindictive God is. It's one thing to take care to stone and burn Achan and all of his possessions, but why his family? Why his children? Is that not cruel of God?
Well, they knew about it.
If he did the sin, then his lifestyle was not with God, so he probably taught his children to follow his example.
Very well could be. It could also be, yes, that they were to God like accessories after the fact, accomplices.
Right.
We don't know. Maybe his sons and daughters did know what he did. We don't know.
If he buried them in the tent, surely they would have known.
He buried them in the tent, exactly. But God says, I want it all taken care of. And why? Because he says, they have transgressed my covenant. Have transgressed the covenant of the Lord because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. What was the disgraceful thing? God said, I want you to destroy Jericho. This city is devoted to me, first of all, and everything in it. And all of it is under the ban. You destroy it all, except for these things. These things belong to me. The whole city belongs to me, and I want it destroyed. But these things belong to me. Rahab and her family belong to me because she chose that. And her family chose that. And I've chosen them. And these other things, they're mine.
Discipline.
Exactly. They did not pay heed to that. And so God says, those are supposed to be to me? No, I want you to eradicate them. I want you to destroy them. Because they're desecrated. They became contaminated because they were mine. That he took him from me. So all was burned. And then Joshua raised a great heap of stones over the sites. What was the significance of the stones? So that the people of Israel would not forget what happened there. And what Achan had done. I like the way the scholar Robert Hubbard says, the stones also remind Israel that they are by nature not a collection of individuals, but a community. A fragile, carefully woven fabric in which disobedience by one thread strains or tears at the integrity of the whole. Jeff brought up about Ananias and Sapphira earlier. It goes right to that. Why was Ananias and Sapphira, why did they die? Because God could not allow cancer in the body. One individual could tear or strain the whole thread. If God had allowed Achan to live and the rest of them for that to carry on, God would say, okay, it's all right. I'll let bygones be bygones. You just go your way. It would have caused a strain within the community. And also, as he said, as an example, to the people in saying, because the people could have thought, well, if he can get away with it, maybe I can get away with something here too. And God was saying, no. So one, and that's the same way within the church body, what we see in the early church. To allow disobedience to go on when you know it is happening. That can tear the church. That can put a strain on things. Put a strain on people. But notice this, the last thing that we see here. It was only after that took place that the Lord turned from the fierceness of His anger. God's anger was still burning until they took care of the matter. And that's the same thing today. As I said earlier, when I spoke of this a number of months ago, if the doctrine, the teaching of the church is not cared for, then life in the church has been neglected. And we are worse for it as a result. Sin in one's life will diminish us. Sin within the church can diminish us. It has to be confessed, must be judged, and removed. That's what God wants. We have to learn, and that's the lesson in this, that sin cannot be dealt with lightly. But more than that, and I think that applies to today, as Hubbard said, what applies to the church as a whole likewise applies to our treatment of fellow believers. Woe to us if we lead people astray, if we confuse their minds, if we harm their walk with Christ, if we give them disillusions about the gospel. And there are many out there in the world today, and in churches, that's exactly what they're doing, brothers and sisters. They're disillusioning them about the gospel. I heard someone say that
yes, they're coming. We'll learn something, we'll just throw that out too.
What's that?
We'll learn something, we'll just throw that out too. Forget the blood of Christ.
True.
That's horrendous.
But what, and a lot of what's going on and stuff, is it harms the body of Christ. What is being taught in that. It's important what's in here. It's important what we teach. Because it all has to do with eternity. And with our transformation, people's transformation. And again, it has to do with our walk with Christ. And a con wasn't walking with Yahweh. And evidently his family wasn't either. And so God was saying that, you don't walk with me? You want to deceive me? You want to steal from me? You want to deceive me? So I can't have that. I have to deal with that. Because that could reverberate. The same thing today, see? If God says, and I think he allows churches to do the same thing, if you want to go your own way, then go ahead. But know this, you do, and I'm going to hold you responsible, and that's why it's so important for us who teach. And that's why what James says about the double responsibility we have, is God says, I'm going to hold you responsible for them. I don't know about you. That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? Now that doesn't mean, I think that has to do somewhat with the rewards and punishment aspect. But I don't think that means God is saying that when it comes to the end time, when it comes to heaven, that a person can say, well, this person led me astray, you know, and so it's his fault. And so since it's his fault, you let him be punished, but you go ahead and take me. I don't think it's going to work that way, do you? I do think they are going to be held responsible, though, in some fashion, in some way.
Accessories to the crime.
But each person is responsible for the choice they make, right? And that's what the lesson here is, too. God was holding him responsible, but he was also holding the nation responsible. He couldn't allow it to continue on. And I believe that's the same thing today. Same thing with is that God will let it go on, but he's still going to hold things responsible. Heavy lesson, man. Let's stand, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the lessons that we can learn here. Father, may we take these lessons to heart and know, Lord, that you desire our love. And indeed that you do love us, and we have that through your Son, Jesus. And oh, Father, we know that it's only through your Son that we can have total transformation. And that indeed that we can have eternal life. Be with us now, Lord, as we go to our home, guide and direct us throughout this week, pray. We ask all these things in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen.
I got a question.
Yes, Renee.
We don't stone them today, right?